Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, hello. This is episode 68. We're going to talk about the psychology of letting go. Why decluttering sets you free. A couple things we're going to talk about on this segment is why do we hold on to physical items? How does the process of holding on impact our brain in terms of clarity and cognitive load? Touch on a few stories that I hope we'll get you all as listeners thinking, and we're going to have a fun little quick quiz to see how well you're really doing on providing a kind of clean and free-flowing space. And to also give you some tips on, hey, if you really need to get started to sort of reduce the footprint of things you have around you, how do you get started? And with that, I just want to welcome Muge, my fantastic rock star co-host. Muge, how are you doing?
Thank you, Christine. Doing great. I just came out of a fairly intense few weeks as my younger son graduated from college. We had quite celebratory times with my sister joining us from Turkey and just in there, usual work stresses mixed in. We helped my son move back home from his college apartment. So a lot of great transitions and celebrations. This topic, both for physical and emotional dimensions, I think is a very timely one. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. There's so many seasons of life, right? And you kind of realize you were in the physicality of moving your son. So seeing that happen and realizing you're going to store some things, you're going to lose some things. Let's get into the topic. So I guess the first area to sort of dive into is why do we hold on to things? And I know from my own personal experience, there's emotional connection. Maybe a friend, family member gave you something that, you know, was just special. And maybe it wasn't even, you know, the item itself wasn't special, but the act of receiving it and remembering that person provides us with an emotional connection around the item. There's also the idea of, well, I might need this someday. I have a lot of those things in my garage. Like, I haven't touched them in 5 years, but I'm not going to give this away. We might use it sometime, right? So thinking about that as another reason. We also sometimes just overvalue things because we own them, right? We've put financial capital into acquiring the item and feel like it's worth something to hold on to. Do any of those reasons for holding on to things resonate with you, Muge?
Actually, all of them do, Christine. And then I also think about the narrative I spin in my head and really build a case for keeping it. I can totally see myself wearing it. I can totally see myself using it. And then the interesting and the truth of it is a lot of the stuff that I keep, I cannot find. Even if I needed it. So I have to go buy new stuff anyway. It's just incredible how much value, emotional value, especially we may associate with things because of the history and emotion that it invokes. So what I am thinking is when we talk about decluttering down the line, there could be a possibility of rationalizing this, but also thinking maybe alternatives that would still give us the same feel, meaning, you know, your children's artwork from, you know, kindergarten, can they be digitized? Like, are there other ways by which we could still keep the association without the clutter? It is incredibly hard. It really is. And I recently saw this I saw this little cartoon, and it was talking about how a person started to declutter her house, and then she watched the hoarders on TV, and then she felt like her house was just fine. It doesn't need decluttering. It looks really good.
It's all perspective, right?
It's all perspective. I don't think that's what we are advising here, but
no.
Yes, it's all a matter of perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And if we think about how this impacts us, it's kind of interesting. There's a couple experts that I found in this research, but first, just a quote. A cluttered environment increases mental fatigue and decreases focus. Your brain constantly scans and categorizes what's around you, even unconsciously. I think I know for myself, if I walk into my office, I'll have maybe a book here, maybe a paper or notebook. I have to stack them before I get started. I just like have to just keep things away from my computer and focus while I'm engaging in meetings and such. I think that's one way maybe, you know, my brain at least is trying to like put some calm, you know, put some order around things. And that's not unusual. So Dr. Sabine Kastner, she's a Princeton University neuroscience. She focuses on attention and distraction. And her research shows that visual clutter competes for your brain's processing power. And I think sometimes we forget that our brain is always taking in information, always, you know, figuring out what to do. Is it, you know, are you acting on something? Are you maybe storing it for later use? And we've talked about some of this in other episodes. But She also took some research from another neuroscientist, Dr. Daniel Levitin, and he wrote the book, The Organized Mind. And he explains that our brains are not wired to handle the bombardment of sensory inputs that we now experience. And when our physical surroundings are disorganized, the prefrontal cortex responsible for decision making and attention becomes overstimulated, leading to fatigue, stress, and lower productivity. And I think we can feel this, you know, if we go into a clean, like white space without a lot of distractions, you feel differently.
Yeah, very much so. And I think we are definitely wired to constantly scan our environments as a, probably a survival mechanism, mm-hmm. Scan, categorize, and react. And that is a lot of mental energy spent. And I think especially in an era of attention deficit of things coming at us, doing what we can to clear our environments probably would do us a lot of good. And you're absolutely right. I mean, every time our bodies do tell us what feels good and what doesn't. And I don't think we have ever seen a visual full of clutter that helped anybody feel great.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's almost like, where do you start when you walk into a space like that? Here's another sort of angle on this. This is from Dr. Roy Baumeister. He's a leading researcher on willpower and decision fatigue. And he says every decision uses up mental energy. So decluttering helps us streamline, automate decisions by removing excess. He has this idea of a choice architecture that basically says that by intentionally curating our space, we prioritize what aligns with our goals and identity. So when we choose what to keep, we reinforce what matters. Just kind of also another way to think about as you're going through things, why am I keeping this? Am I keeping this to be really useful, or can it serve someone else in a different way?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's processing and alignment of values. The other thing I think to complement this probably, Christine, is we can keep decluttering to the best of our ability, but we should also watch the intake to make sure it's not continuing to add on to the clutter. We give some, we receive some. So I think that, again, goes back to the values of do we need to acquire things constantly? So that's something to think about as well.
Yeah. As the sustainability director, I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart.
That is very near and dear to my heart. And I think it's very hard because, you know, we talked about this a lot, like the fashion waste and the surplus. And we get bored of old things and we acquire new things, adding to the clutter. So and that truly goes back to the values, which I think we probably need to remind ourselves because it's very hard. It's not natural. So it got to be pretty intentional about it.
Yeah. The next thing to touch on is the emotional connection to some of the failure to let go. And they say actually that letting go of physical items often parallels to releasing old stories or trauma. It's like, oh, okay. And then there is two doctors, Dr. Christiane Northrup and grief therapist Christina Rasmussen, both emphasize how our belongings can serve as emotional surrogates, connections to people, identities, or times in our lives. Holding on to those can delay healing or reinforce unresolved emotional loops.
So conversely, if something is reminding us of an unpleasant memory or trauma, shouldn't we be getting rid of it more readily?
Yeah, you would think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking now of like some of the suits that are hanging in my closet that I never wear anymore. It's like, I need to get rid of those.
I know. How hard is that? I keep pushing it to the back of the closet. Again, self-talk is going on. Oh, I can't see myself wearing it. But I think a great test is, when is the last time you wore it? And I think the whole thing is really part of the identity. It's really not about the object. And I see this with my aunt, who is about to turn 90 years old. She retired from a successful banking career a long time ago. And I go to her summer house and she has still the suits hanging in her closet that she tries to give me. I'm like, we have to do something about it. And she just can't make herself or bring herself to do it because that still seems to be continued to be an important part of her identity.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And it's probably not even in our main closet, right? It's probably in some back closet.
No, I mean, this is a summer house. She has been in over more than 25 years and beautiful suits. Nobody needs it. It's just how hard it is. And she feels better passing it on to me because she thinks that's a better purpose than to donate or give away or completely get rid of.
Yeah. I understand that too. I mean, some of the things that I've had that were like super high quality, I didn't want to just give to just anyone, right?
Right.
You know, you want it to be in the family or, a close personal friend.
So well, here, business suits as heirlooms.
Yeah. Hey, well, I mean, some of those suits we wore in the 80s, they're back in style with those shoulder pads.
They are back. The shoulder pads, that's way to go. I think that's another justification. You'll hold on to it long enough, it will be fashionable again. So, you know, assortment of colors, assortment of styles.
Vintage.
Yep, that's right.
Vintage. Yes. Yeah. So here's a couple of kind of interesting stories. And this one, this woman, Kate Flanders, so she was in a situation where she had a lot of debt and she wanted to, you know, get financially healthy. She wanted to really think about consumption, and she put herself on a year-long shopping ban.
Oh boy. I mean, that is really hard because that is a breakup between me and Amazon, and that is serious therapy.
Yep. And as a result of her experience, she wrote this book, The Year of Less. And she said, "Hey, I thought I was decluttering my home and I ended up decluttering my life." You know, just feeling that she could move freer. She didn't have the burden of, you know, these excessive, not, I mean, $30,000 is a lot of debt, but she was able to manage that and just kind of change her life. But a year-long
Well,
shopping ban, only spending money on consumables like food.
right. It's truly incredible, and I think I can also see the opposite of this happening. Meaning, my husband and I have even gone there at times where we are not fitting into the house properly. Like the closets, we want bigger closets, we want more space. It's getting a little tight, and we're like, should we move to a bigger house? And are like, no, we cannot move to a bigger house for the purpose of creating more space. So we have more stuff. And we can fit more stuff. So we are going to go through these closets, and we have to do this, once a year at least. Like we are not moving to a bigger space to accommodate more stuff. So I mean, the opposite of this story can also happen, which I think is really kind of dangerous because then it affects everything. It affects your finances. It affects, getting uprooted from your community. So fitting into the space that you have. Is a good one, but amazing the far-reaching impact decluttering your life.
And I found Paul and I will go down to South Carolina for, 3 to 4 weeks at a time. And the places that we will stay in are a third of the size of our house. And you realize that you can live with a lot less stuff. It's a very simple life. You have the basic clothes that you rotate and rotate, and it doesn't, I'm not really impacted by it. It's really interesting, but when you have the space, you grow into the space.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You grow into the space. So we are resuggesting everybody moves to New York City, gets a small apartment, and practices the art of living in small spaces.
Maybe not that small.
We're like, that's too small.
I did that too. Not in New York, but in DC. I mean, I think I lived in a 600 square foot apartment. That was pretty teeny.
That is pretty small. That's pretty small. And so you make up for that, Christine, by renting storage space and create space. My husband and I have gone through that as well. We're like, maybe we need to rent storage space. I was like, nope, that is completely not needed. I mean, there may be legitimate reasons for storage space, but not to store more stuff that you are probably not ever going to use. So no to storage space. You have to keep rationalizing.
Here's another story that I found this one kind of interesting. This woman was diagnosed with MS and thinking about how to manage and be more healthy in the situation. She wanted to limit her stress. And, she looked at all aspects, including like, hey, I've got this fast-paced schedule. I might need to slow down. Got this overflowing closet that was stressing her out. And she started what she calls Project 333. Oh, Project 33, a minimalist fashion challenge. So she, oh, it is 333. 33 items of clothing for 3 months and just focusing on simplifying her life. So I think that's an interesting challenge to only have 33 items that you continue to wear in 3 months. I think it'd be kind of hard too.
That would be hard, and I think it depends on your lifestyle. If you have to do different types of activity, you may need more clothing than that. But I think we all probably can do with less. So maybe it's not 33, maybe it's 50. But what I try to do, and not do a very good job, is like take out a part of my closet and monitor that part to see if I am going to use it, if I am going to wear it. And the sad part, Christine, is I went through a spree. I got rid of several bags of clothing, and then I didn't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't go back and say, oh, I wish I had that piece.
That just
tells you
how
you have to be pretty militant about it, and it will do you a lot of good.
Right. One little life hack around that recategorization is, they say you should put all of your hangers one way, and then when you wear something, you hang it up the other way, and at the end of the year, you can see what things you didn't even touch.
Yeah. That's a good one. Uh-huh. That's a good one. The other practice that sounds very morbid and disturbing, but has some truth to it, I think, is this Nordic way of death cleaning. Assume you pass away, and someone comes to your house and they have to clean up after you. What do you want them to do? What do you want to leave them with? Do you want to pass on all this clutter? What would you do if you knew that time was near? So, I mean, it's a very morbid thought, but I think it just brings another perspective of what you want to hold on to and what you want your loved ones to deal with, you know, upon your passing at some point in time.
Yeah, that's definitely the more extreme version.
It is the more extreme version. Yes, it is the more extreme version, but apparently it works in some places.
Yeah. Well, we have a quiz for our listeners, and let's take this too as we go, Muge. It'll be interesting to see where we are on this, you know, time to let go, decluttering clarity quiz. So we're going to ask listeners to either say yes or no to the following questions, and then we count the responses. So the first one is, do you feel overwhelmed or stressed when you walk into certain rooms? That's a yes or no. Are you holding on to items because of guilt or obligations? Yes or no. Do you often spend time looking for things you know you own?
This is not good. I haven't said no yet. And I am going down the line. This is not going well.
Do you avoid certain spaces in your home, closets, drawers, etc.? Do you keep objects that represent a version of yourself you've outgrown? Let's say yes. Have you ever bought a duplicate item because you couldn't find the original?
I just said yes to that.
Yes. Do you have trouble relaxing in your space? Are you delaying decisions about what to keep or to toss? Yeah, this is not going very well either for me. Does your physical clutter mirror mental or emotional clutter? Ooh, that's a heavy question. Would clearing space help you breathe easier, literally or metaphorically? Okay, so now you got to count up your yeses. Ooh. Yep. So here's the spaces, or the rating. 0 to 3 yeses, your space might be serving you well. Maintain with intention. 4 to 6 yeses, there's room to create more clarity and peace. 7 to 10 yeses, it may be time for a deep reset. Start small, but start soon. I'm a 7 to 10.
Me too. I got there pretty quickly, probably halfway through the questions. Yeah, it's time for a deep reset. Start small, start soon. I've been thinking about this a lot. I think it's time to stop thinking. And for me, it is the closet, Christine. It's like a beast. That's where I need to go. But deep reset for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, for me, it's doing it more often. Like, I'll go through the... once every 6 months, I'll get this bug where I'm going to just like, I'm cleaning everything in the house and I'm taking everything out. And it goes on for like a full day and I make a lot of progress, feel pretty good. And then, you know, you need to do it again in 6 months. So maybe it's just really, to your point earlier, is being mindful of what you bring in. Maybe even setting up some like mental rules. If I'm going to bring one item of clothing, I'm going to put three out, you know, instead of just a one-to-one.
I think I know only one woman friend who has been doing that very well. I tried it and I just end up holding the items in my hand and putting them back. But I have to say, I'm going to contradict myself. One motivation I find, which I know is a little misguided, but it's still a bit of motivation, is to make room so that I can buy a couple things from the current season, because otherwise it's just not fitting in. I know that's not what I said we could be doing, but it does still serve as a motivation.
Yeah Well, and a couple things, like if it gives you joy, that's okay.
That's right. Especially
look, we're already talking ourselves out of decluttering.
I know, especially it gives me joy, and just a couple things, especially if it is color, I think it's okay. Yeah, that's right. See how it spirals. I think the other thing is to really maybe find areas where donations really make a difference. I think Goodwill, etc., is good, but then there are other organizations like Dress for Success, etc. Speaking of our suits, I think if I am motivated by knowing it's going to serve a good purpose, it's actually going to help somebody somewhere, I feel better about it, as opposed to just putting it out there.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing to mention. I was thinking also of how do you use things for the right reasons when you're donating? Like, as you said, Dress for Success is a great example. The other thing, I had pulled aside some, you know, blankets. And I'm like, nobody at Goodwill is going to want these blankets, but a dog shelter could really use these blankets.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So thinking, being more thoughtful about where you, you know, provide your the things that you can't use anymore. So a couple mindful tips for getting started, and they do suggest start small, right? One drawer, one shelf, or 10 minutes a day. Asking yourself three questions: do I use it, do I love it, and would I buy it again? And I think those are good questions for sure. This one's kind of corny. I don't think I would do this, but they say, have some rituals around release. Thank the item before letting it go.
Well, I guess that's okay. I talk to myself often enough that would not look weird at all.
If I started talking to inanimate objects, my husband would be like, that's it. You know, you've done a lot of crazy, but it's time. It's time to really have your head examined.
It is time to get some help. But yes. I think maybe we don't talk to it explicitly, but at least process it emotionally to say, now we have moved on to a different phase. And I think at the root of it, at least for me, I think it's the level of acceptance that you have to come to terms with. And you have to do it sometimes maybe on your own time. And none of that is more evident than clothing that doesn't fit.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't fit. I may have loved myself in that size 15 years ago, but that's not the size I am. And I may not get back to that size for a long time, if ever. So you kind of just have to come to terms with it, accept it, and move on to the next phase. And I think it's that acceptance that holds us back. And it's in support of everything else you said, Christine, how decluttering helps us move forward.
Yeah. And then the outcome, once you have like more space, is use that space in a different way. And I've got one example that I think about that, you know, we did walk-in closets and they looked, you know, great when they first done. But I put some artwork in my closet. So when you walk in, it's like, oh, that's so nice. And then on my husband's side, he was laughing because I found this cute little picture of him as like a 7-year-old. And I put it on his side and I had an old picture of me on my side. He's like, what's this all about? I was like, well, that's your side. That's my side. Isn't that fun? It's on the shelf. And he's like, whatever. Not something he would do, but I think the point is, instead of like clearing and putting more things on the space, like keeping some areas like clean and use it for display or, more of an emotional connection if you can.
That's a really good idea. And I think if your closet has space to hold things of that nature, that would be amazing. I'll tell you, Christine, another thing I struggle with is jewelry. And it's not expensive jewelry, but it is jewelry that has been given to me by my mom, by loved ones, and I haven't worn in a long time. Granted, it doesn't take that much space, but still, you hold on to it. So I think it's all, acceptance, and I think processing that our love and care for one another doesn't have to be connected with physical objects, even though visuals are a powerful reminder. So, I think what works for me is, I have to find a buddy to help me in this process. And that buddy cannot be my husband, because then we get into an argument on what to keep, what not to keep. But it has to be a third party, maybe a friend, maybe even a stylist you bring home, and really be objective about it. That really helps me. Otherwise, I'm going to take a long time processing each item. And putting it back, potentially.
And we should reference, we did a great interview with Lisa Malone, professional organizer, and she talked a lot about some of the connections we have and how she works with clients just to get through that process. It's good to have an independent party who's not vested.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And
Yeah.
it goes much quicker and much
Totally.
more effective. Yep.
Yeah.
So let's go declutter a drawer or inbox or something that takes our mental energy.
Yeah, I am newly inspired. So I have a couple ideas, and especially, just coming back from time away and another in that space that was a lot smaller, I already have some ideas for things that I want to get rid of. So yeah, this is a good topic. I'm glad we covered it. Get some inspiration.
That's right. That's right. I think a reminder is always a good thing, a refresher, a reminder, because it's good to think about it, but also it's easy to not do it because it's not exactly the thing that you look forward to very much. So, yeah, no, I am inspired as well.
Good. All right. So with that, we will wrap up. Again, just start small. Think about, do I use it? Do I love it? Would I buy it again? And I think the other point that we covered here is be thoughtful about what you're bringing in to your home. And do you need it? Is it necessary? And make smarter decisions about keeping your space in a place that really, helps nourish your mind, helps you think more clearly without a lot of clutter. All
That's right.
right. So we'll sign off. Anything else?
It's a great timing. I think as schools wind down, summer starts, it's a good time for a reset.
Totally. All right. So until next time, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.